Are you itching for a good story? Laughter among friends, maybe a mystery? Fire-Breathing Kittens is a standalone Dungeons & Dragons podcast. Each episode is a separate 3-hour-long story, like a movie, for your ears. You can listen to these adventures in any order. Join us on a real-play D&D quest as we solve mysteries, attempt comedic banter, and enjoy friendship. Fire-Breathing Kittens podcast. Fantasy, action, mystery, and friendship.
Welcome back, everyone. So let's remove the bookmark and continue our story. So, you all awaken and hear the call of Julian as he calls you to meet into the center area by the entryway of this Parthenon that King had created the night prior. You all feel well rested. You all get back those of you who have the Orabu bonuses, it gets reapplied there and everything else gets reset as I will give you all a long rest. But you all make your way into the center of the building where you see standing in a line 3x3 are Julian's team as well as him at the head as the seventh. And they all go, huh! And they stand in formation, pointing towards you as you all start to walk in there. We have done reconnaissance. Once again, thank you, Liberators, for your aid. In doing so, we were able to have a thorough look around. They have guards, serpent creatures, bone serpents. From there, we couldn't see any deeper in. But looking at the other entryway, there seems to be some type of catacombs. If any place, the phylactery would be there. But the heart of the place, where we had felt the darkest energy, seems to be closer towards the entrance that the six of us, he says, pointing towards you and himself, will be going in there. I surmise that is where the lich is located. We must destroy his phylactery before defeating him, or else this will all be for naught. Don't worry, Lori says, stepping up. We'll find the phylactery. We have the holy water and incantations used to destroy it. If it's another plane, we'll find a rip, a tear. The entryway will be somewhere around. And you all, keep your eyes peeled. It could be right next to him, too. And he steps back into line. Liberators, are you ready?
Let's roll. Let us go.
All right, then. Lori, head now. Go through the other entrance. Liberators, let's ride. And he goes and hops onto his horse, because you're still a distance away. But he goes and opens up the door, hops on his horse, and begins to gallop forward. And as the rest of them step off, jump onto their horses, and ride off into the distance.
Yes, I suppose I will summon the unicorns again for us to follow. Or I would have, I would have summoned them in preparation to go. Since I forgot we are a half mile away and need to actually get there a little bit quicker.
So you all have your unicorns placed in front of you. A Shaftful splits into its pieces. Hop on and race behind.
As we start to ride, Monaco will begin to give some encouraging words to everyone. Telling everyone, this is it, everyone. We survived that battle and we traveled through the worst of it. And now we have to come and fight this, but it's just another step. We've got this. King's confident. I'm confident. And she will give everyone temporary hit points from the Inspiring Leader feature.
All right. You are inspired by Monocle's words, receiving your temporary hit points.
As we are riding, Horatio will cast Mage Armor on himself.
I will as well. I'm sorry.
Creating his Arcane Ward. And, yeah.
The three of you are doing on your Mage Armor as you are blanketed in your own arcane magic as it shields around you, protecting you, and you all ride off. After a little bit of traveling with Julian, he holds up his hand to stop as you reach the edge of the over ridge, where you're probably about 1,000 feet away from the entryway to this cavern. He gets off, ties up the horse on a nearby tree. From here we should go on foot, stealthily. There are guards in the form of these snake creatures around. I would like to get past them without making any noise. Do you agree, or would you have some other way?
I think it would be best to move quietly. We want to preserve our full strength.
Rise will be our additional ally in this situation, I think.
Well, if you guys think it's best.
All right.
But in case we need to strike quickly, it'll stop them from alerting. And Durant pulls out his anti-venom vial
antitoxin vial. He's gonna pop it now. He's gonna chug it.
I suppose.
Okay.
I will drink mine as well.
I will drink.
Oh, it doesn't taste very good, though.
Deep mint aftertaste.
That's...
I guess I could work with this.
Julian also pops out. He has one as well and takes a drink from it. Yeah. All right. Seems like we're ready. Let's go. I need you all to roll me stealth checks.
Miley, can you guide me on this endeavor?
Well.
Oh my goodness.
Okay.
Someone's going to the dice dungeon.
So, starting off with...
You have no type of advantage on that because it's dust scout?
No.
You don't have pass without trace.
I mean, y'all have pass without trace? No? You didn't use any of that, so...
I have plus 8 to my stealth, but I rolled a 1. Okay. That's a 9.
So, you all walk in, and as you start to get closer towards the inside of this cavern, you can now notice that there are undead creatures walking around. Banshees flying back and forth and wailing, and you just see more zombies. And there's rock formations, and then Julian, can map out the entirety of the path, goes and points at several different rocks and goes and jumps to each one of them and is nimbly ducking behind it and making his way towards the entryway of this cavern, waiting for the patrol to pass by slowly. And you all follow in tow, matching his movements. King and Duran, the two of you, just being nimble elves, just dance around, easily able to hop back and forth, following Julian in his path. There was one part when a banshee goes by, but you duck behind the rock, and it's she goes and flashes by, passing on. You look back and see the rest of your three allies more nervous, not sure, as they both jump in. So, Monaco. Well, let me pray this, because all three of you rolled very terribly. The three of you, both wanting to follow in foot, jumped simultaneously out into it. As you do, you bash into each other, hitting one of the rocks, making a thudding sound. One of the zombies that's nearby turns around and goes, and starts walking over towards your direction. I would need you to roll me to see if you can get away from it. A dexterity check before you're caught by these zombies. Julian and the two of you see this kind of kerfuffle happen behind you and can react in any way.
Can you're trying to get I away or make myself invisible?
Nice.
It's a new day.
Sure.
So I'm going to trace a line down the center of my face, white light kind of trailing behind it. As I cast invisibility on myself, how does that affect my roll?
I will roll a normal dexterity check to jump out the way still. I'll factor that in to the DC, actually.
That's 4. But I hope it was a 1 DC for me. Because that's it. I'm invisible. Also, I'm not seen, but I probably smell.
Well, this was just a dexterity check. You are invisible, which could be wrecked. So, Monaco... Horatio, you two jump simultaneously side by side. Monaco, you notice quickly, nimbly jump to the other side, hiding behind the rock. You see Horatio lagging a little bit, but you're able to kind of pull him, and Horatio, you make it across safely as the zombie walks past. Kyle, you go and you trip to jump across, landing down. There's a thud. The zombie looks on over and starts walking your direction. It goes by, and you kind of clench your butt cheeks and hold still. It looks around. I'm going to have a roll of perception check at disadvantage. Because you're invisible. It looks around. It looks down at you, Cal. And then continues walking past. As you're just lying on the ground and invisible. The two of you, Duran and King, look over and see Julian roll his eyes. And he kind of he moves his arm for you to continue going by. As the three of you are easily able to make it into the cavern unseen. So the two of you are behind the rocks and there's a patrol going on. Cal, you're still invisible. I don't know if you want to get up or do something else. But right now, the three of you are unseen. The other three have made it in.
Seeing that Cal kind of went invis, Horatio will just look at Monaco and say, I think we should follow in Cal's footsteps. And he's going to cast invisibility at level 3 on Monaco and himself.
Okay. You go ahead and do the same, covering both of you with your magic until whoop, you poof out of existence. A zombie walks by, looks over at your direction, and continues walking.
No problem. We can still hear. We must be careful.
Yeah.
Myself included. Let's continue on.
Right.
We continue.
The three of you continue walking on, going past. Due to your visibility and the zombies not being very perceptive alone, you're able to follow past and make it into the cavern unseen. So you walk in there. So the three of you are in there, and you just kind of hear some footsteps walk inside, but you don't see anybody.
We're here.
I'll use the brain chat and say, did they find you?
No.
Are you okay?
No.
We can't see you. Are you all right?
I tap his shoulder.
Right in front of you.
Oh. Okay, that's not creepy. In this cavern underground. Julian, let's go. They're right behind us.
Magic. Fine, whatever you need. Let's go. And you all successfully enter the cave. I'm going to share the map. So you all walk into this dark cavern. Horatio, immediately as you look around, you notice that your sight is gone as everything is just pitch black.
As soon as that happens, Horatio's invisibility will drop. As he casts dark vision on himself for 8 hours, I can see up to 60 feet in the dark.
I feel like dark vision is not concentration.
It is not, but I casted a spell. So invisibility drops.
And when you cast a spell, when you're invisible.
Oh, because yeah. It's reg and viz.
Yeah, it's
gotcha.
Reg and viz.
Mm. All right. So as you reappear once again, your eyes are blanketed with the arcane magic and you can clearly see. All of you already have dark vision. You're all fine. And it looks, as you look down at Julian, it seems that he has no trouble seeing around as he's walking past rocks and other things. All right, let's be quieter this time. He says, looking back at everyone. What is your marching order? Julian's taking the front, as that's just his. Unless someone wants to take the front from him, but he's going to take the front. You can position yourselves in any direction. Do you see where you guys are?
I think Cal should sort of go behind everyone, and we should just move up one square.
That's your marching
order. I feel like that's more, right. Just in case something strong comes from behind, we have a paladin behind us.
Wow, I find it interesting he put himself in the middle and not Horatio.
Horatio was in the middle. I was just...
Horatio yeah, put himself I moved back. Myself one back, just because I feel like Horatio would be able to bamf with Cal quickly should he...
I have himself. I also prepared a spell that I want to be... in the middle of all of us to cast.
I should be closer to the front because I can see magical invisible things or transfigured things.
You can also go side by side.
I thought as wide as it. Horatio would want to be next to Minaka.
If you do.
I mean, Horatio's focused right now, bro.
We got shit to do, man.
Yeah, we got shit to do.
Professionals.
Business before pleasure.
Okay. Alright, so I need you all to roll me stealth checks, and if you are currently invisible, you would get to do so at advantage.
Invisible advantage?
I will roll for... Yes, if you are invisible, you're advantage.
Oh, I got checks. Above a 10.
Wow.
I am the stealthiest.
And I got so bad at these.
Okay, so 10. We'll start backwards. So, Monaco, final number.
24.
Cal, final number. Duran, final number.
22.
Horatio, final number.
12.
King, final number.
Dirty 20.
Okay. All right. And with the 21 for Julian, you guys are pretty stealthy. So you start to make your way. Every so often, Monaco and even you, Horatio, stumble a little bit. But nevertheless, you all make it throughout this winding tunnel without drawing any attention. When you get towards the end of the tunnel, you do see that it opens up to what seems to be a vast cavern, the innards of a cavern, with a river rushing by. You're able to pick up the sounds of the river as you are just passively as you are walking up the water turning. Anything more, you can roll me perception checks, or you could peek around the corner and take a closer look.
I make a perception check to make sure that we are not being followed at all.
Sure, roll me a perception check. Cal, you can't really tell if you're being followed. You look back, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. Horatio, as you look around, your darkness spell is fizzing. Like, you're getting used to it, seeing the dark vision. So you're not really able to make it out as you're starting to adjust to this new magic sight. But as you look on over Duran with your 24, with Julian, he holds you up a little bit and points on over, and you see this vast cavern. Slithering around, you see four large bone-like serpent creatures that are just sliding back and forth. There's a ridgeway that leads up to something more that you can't see from this distance, but it seems to be like they're guarding this staircase leading up to another region within this cavern, and I will reveal it on the map. All right, so they're slithering back and forth. You just hear the sound of the rushing waters around that's going down with the river, but also the sound of the grinding of the bone onto stone ground as they're slithering across, going back and forth, guarding the staircase leading to you don't know what.
Should we try and do a diversion? I can try and draw their attention to the far end of the cavern, and I'll point up towards to the left. I can go and hopefully draw them over there. And if you make your way towards the staircase, I can bamf over after, once they've gotten far enough away. And maybe we can, I don't know, lock them in this room somehow? Or do you think this is definitely going to be a battle?
Feels like it's going to be a battle.
Then what do you propose to not run it and get slaughtered?
Julian turns over to you and says, This will be a hard one. Even a distraction. They can smell, feel the presence, the footsteps as you walk. I would rather not have to battle here, but I am out of ideas.
Horatio, do you have your gate?
The moment I do not. Sorry.
It's alright. That is unfortunate. That probably would have come in handy, but I don't know. What shall we do?
I mean,
shall we try and lock down one of them, or maybe draw one of them in this cavern? And fight it at a disadvantage? Or have it fight at disadvantage?
I don't understand how these creatures are, but do they not speak back to their master once they find us?
It possibly can. If this is Valshun, he's a master of the serpents. He can communicate, I'm sure. We'll be giving away our elements as a prize.
Will they chase prey? Like before with Monaco and her invisible servant.
He looks on over. They look to be guarding something. I don't know. See how they move back and forth from that staircase. I'm sure they're protecting their master. And they may not leave. We might have to dispatch them unless you have some other ways.
Well, if Valshun is behind that door, then we're gonna have to deal with them anyways. I can hold one if it succeeds. And I believe that is for...
Do you know how they move? I perhaps can take a more primitive way of locking them down.
If we get past them and Valshroom's right there, they're just going to follow in after us. And then we'll have to do it both at the same time.
I could potentially lock the two in the far corner closest to the staircase. Or slow them, actually, would be a more appropriate way to phrase that. And then hopefully we can dispatch the one that's closest to us and increase our odds of defeating them quickly. I think we should focus our fire on one while locking down the others.
Has Horatio read about these creatures?
Specifically on the Bone Nagas? No, nothing specific on Bone Nagas. Mm.
Do you think they can burrow? Julian, do you know if these creatures will burrow? If they can, then that will affect my plan. But if they cannot, I think we have a good chance of slowing them.
I have something I could do. I wanted to save it for something very important.
Then save it for something very important. This, I feel, is... This is the calm before the major storm.
All right.
Okay. I hope that they cannot burrow, but if I call forth the plants and vegetation in the land, I can create an area that will make it extremely difficult for them to move in. We then could potentially have at least a round or two to try and get rid of one or two of them. I think that is our best bet, and it is not too taxing on me.
All right, so what is your plan?
I would like to cast Plant Growth. Well, the plan is to cast Plant Growth, and it has a range of 150 feet. So I believe 150, yeah, I can cast it like all the way through this room. And then it has a 100-foot radius. So if I do this, plants will grow in this entire area and completely envelop it in brambles and make it extremely difficult for everything to move. And one square of movement will take 20 spaces of movement.
Okay.
It says you must spend 4 feet of movement for every 1 foot. So that means every square, instead of it being 5, is 20.
20, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the one at the end is just barely captured in it, so it could easily get out. And that was my plan, to hopefully get Bodnaga 1, since that's the closest one, while keeping them to that will slow their assault towards us, assuming they come towards us. And that's the plan I will unfurl to the group. Or that's what I say I can do, or what I think we should do. And as I finish my plan, I say, the cavern, the whole cavern. I can cover almost this whole cavern with greenery. What do you think?
I don't suppose it takes very well to fire, does it?
If you wish to set it ablaze and destroy these bone nagas, that would be fine. My plan was to impede them and sort of gang up on one or the other, but if you have a chance to immolate them, I think it might be worth it, but I don't know how these creatures fare with fire. Probably not well.
And if we are going to alert their evil master, we may as well go in with our full force. Dram pulls two of the, the spider lilies from his bag.
He's pulling out the arrows?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
I will aim to place two in the base of its skull and then ignite them. It will not be a small explosion.
So what are you guys going to do? What is your plan?
All right, guys. If we're prepared, I have one last blessing to offer all of us. And I'll hold my hands crossed over my chest and in a tree formation and twinkle my fingers. And as I do that, my fingertips start to glow green and have like a firefly glow to them. And I'll say, Mylaki's blessings be upon you. We have a great evil to defeat, and this ground is corrupted. And I'll like wave my fingers and say, we must purge the corruption in this land and let her blessings fall upon you so these roots can take hold. I will upcast Bless at 4th level, including Julian, giving us a +1 to our attacks and saves. And after that sets, to not waste it since it lasts for a minute, I'll say, let's go, and release the nature energy and focus in the center of the cavern. A huge burst of holy nature energy, and cause brambles to just spill forth and erupt in the cavern.
Okay.
As we're planning all this out, Duran will also mention that he needs to get a little bit further, closer to be able to strike at them, just because they're so far away.
Okay, so when he gives me the signal, I'll release the spell. Well, you have to be within 30 feet of me to get the blessing, so...
Yeah, no, but these guys are like what? Like, Monaga 1 is like, how far away is that?
100 from here.
100 feet, I'm gonna have to get like...
And I shall set it ablaze as soon as it's ready.
Alright, so you're getting a surprise round before they notice you, so...
Oh, nice, range on longbows, 150, 600, so yeah.
Could we sneak up to, like, the edge of the water, let's say, and then release the bless and the thing, so that way we're a little bit closer without them seeing?
Yo, put yourself in your position.
Yeah.
They probably won't notice you. You roll pretty high, you stealth check, so you're able to get to about the edge of the water.
Sneak.
Alright, Julian will get up there. He's following your lead in this, alright? So we have King doing his plant while Duran is firing two arrows at the Bone Naga 1. And anybody else doing anything?
Monaco's going to throw a fireball at some of the Bone Nagas. I'm still figuring out where.
Duran is also thinking about throwing a fireball at the Bone Nagas as well. But you know what? Maybe it's a little early.
Well.
Okay. So.
There's so many.
King, you step forth. Channel in the power of Mylaki inside of you and release it off into the center of this cavern. There, like a seed, it grows as the entire area is engulfed in this plant life that sparks a grappling and grabbing onto the Bone Naga's tails and their bodies, slowing them down as you hear them go
as they yell out, and it's this yell is just echoes throughout the cavern. At that moment, Duran, you release your two shots. Go ahead and roll an attack against Bone Naga number one at advantage. She's not noticing you whatsoever.
Excellent. That also triggers my advantage and assassinate ability.
Mm-hmm. Oof.
Whoa.
Natural 20. Critical hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
And right now it's just, you know, it's just a longbow.
Yeah. Was this the, this is the explosive arrow though, right?
Yeah, but it hasn't exploded yet.
Yeah, it hasn't exploded. Yeah, I'm just preparing for that. All right, doing 9 points of damage. Go ahead and fire your next. All right, 23 hits, rolled damage. All right, 11 points of damage. Okay. So, Horatio, go ahead and target the creature and make your attack, bone on one. And then as well as Monaco, you can do the same.
They're not restrained or anything, are they? They're just slowed, okay.
No, they're just slowed.
They're just slow.
They're just slowed. Horatio, you go ahead and fire your fireball at the same time as Monaco, as the two arching sparks fly across before exploding onto the Nagas. The one Naga that had the oil contraption that Duran had hit on, it explodes as well. Go ahead and roll me a D8, Duran, and it is just covered in oil and now just blazing on fire as you hear.
There are two of those arrows on it, actually.
Okay, so 2d8. All right, so they get 7 extra points of fire damage on Bone Naga number 4. All right, so just, King, releasing your growth ability, all of them, they get stuck and start moving slowly before Duran squares dread in the eyes of the Bone Naga, hits two arrows. And at that moment, you see two arching fireballs explode, causing a massive explosion that rocks the innards of this cavern. The water shakes and hits up from the sound of the sonic boom from all this happening. As the Bone Nagas wail and start to look around and scream in pain, I need you all to roll me initiative.
Yeah, we show initiative.
And he says roll for Julie. Okay, so it's Monaco, followed by Cal, followed by Duran, followed by King, followed by Horatio, then the Bone Nagas, ending with Julian, the Mage Slayer. So, top of the round, as they finally come to their senses, the one Bone Naga, number one, is still on fire. As the dust clears and the other Bone Nagas see, they and start to make their way over towards you. Monaco
will release
first
a salvo of Eldritch Blasts at Bone Naga, number one. The first is a 25 to hit. Ooh, 6
that hits.
Damage.
Full damage.
Eldritch Blast number 2. 26 also hits. For 13 damage this time. And number 3, 24 for another 13 damage.
All right.
She moves over a little bit trying to get cover and being closer to Cal, but that's it.
All right. So you go ahead and hit with your Eldritch Blast one after another. Then after the dust settles, you quickly move over a little bit closer to the Cal, preparing for the next volley of strikes.
All
Cal,
right.
You're up next.
I am going to start dancing to activate my Vagary, discharging me 30 feet across the water to where I will continue to move. Then I think I'll be close enough at that point. I will slide out my railgun rifle, and I will fire a shot off at Bone Naga number one.
All right, target it and fire your ability.
That is a hit with an 18. I would like to
18 hits.
Smite this at third level.
Okay.
So here is...
They are undead creatures.
I do get an additional...
You get bonus to that because they're undead or something like that, right?
So I will roll the Demon's Bane right now. And the smite just blasts it away into dust.
All right. You just see Cal unfurl his railgun, placing it down, clacking into place, looking square down at it, firing. And then with it, there is this holy energy carrying around it. As the Naga is still on flame, screaming back and forth, it just impacts it and explodes, disintegrating, leaving not even
thanks for softening
dust
them up. And that'll be my turn. I want to stay within 15 feet of all my companions, though, to give them +4 on all their saving throws. And that is it. They get the aura protection.
Alrighty. Up next, Duran.
Duran is going to start running towards the edge of the, what do you call this? This is a river, underground lake. He's going to activate his vagary at the edge of the water. He's going to use, and he's going to actually drop the longbow at this point. He's going to fly. He's going to activate his vagary. Actually, he'll hold on to the longbow for now. He's going to activate his vagary using his action move. He uses action moving 35 feet. And once he gets over here, he's going to drop his bow, pull out Firethorn, and use his bonus action to ignite it. And that's the end of Duran's turn.
Okay. Duran, you go ahead, activate your vagary, dash across the water, stepping onto the wind before pulling out Firethorn and igniting it, preparing to strike. King, you're up next.
I'd like to take a few steps forward and also try something new, but doesn't seem that crazy for King. Seeing that the river is actually a little wide and might cause his allies some trouble, he starts to walk forward like Jesus and activate his vagary and dance on top of the water. And I would like to do King's Royal Dominion and activate my aquatic glide ability and sort of stand here and dance with myself and see if I can, as I'm dancing, use my action to control the water in the localized section to make it stable enough for my allies to like jump on or like stand on like a platform.
So you're trying to make it so your allies
harden the water in this area where I'm dancing. You know what I mean? So like that way, if they needed to get across, they could like, I could sort of like dance and spin with them. And since I can walk on water, I might be able to help them too.
Okay, so you're basically using your act to help them across, but in the sense of using your vagary with it. Okay.
Correct. Yes.
All right. So you go ahead and use your action. You start to dance and use your vagary. And using your action to go ahead and cast Royal Dominion, you release the Soul Burst. And all of you who are within the area do get the healing that King places onto you around it. King, as you begin to focus that energy into the water, you do manage to solidify in a way, able to use your action to help people over. They touch you, go ahead and grab them as they touch you, transfer some of your power, giving this a little bit of movement where they can jump across and not be impeded by the waters and have full movement across.
Okay, cool. So like, I imbue enough power that they could basically take a step or two across without falling in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're giving them a vault, but in the sense of helping them over. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like dance with them and give them a push across. Okay, cool. So I'll say, dance with me if you need to walk across. This is my dominion. And then I'll end my turn. But I've made it clear that I can help you across so you don't have to use anything.
I mean, Horatio. I'm still going to use it because it's how I'm going to fight. But I was gonna walk between Cal and Minako and say, let's not let Duran be the only one airborne, and cast Fly at the fifth level on the three of us, because I know that King can fly as well with his... This was my plan, man, I'm sorry.
Should I be upset?
Okay, good. You're dancing, you're like...
And I cast Fly on the three of us.
Okay. You go ahead and you see King dancing and you put a hand out and you just kind of shake your head no. Cast Fly out from your palms. It goes into you and into both Minako and Cal, and both of you start to float up.
And then I fly up 30 feet and forward 30 feet.
Okay. So go ahead and move yourself 30 feet forward.
And mid-flight... towards Duran, I'm going to go into Archon of Peace and increase my AC. And that's using my bonus action.
Okay. You go ahead and channel the Archon of Peace. Within that mode, it raises your AC up. You see Horatio begin to glow, once again turning into that blue spectral energy coming out as he flies up. His hair tie burning off once again as it stands up as he floats right next to Duran. Up next are the Bone Nagas, who are going to see that one of their ally has fallen. Let's see here.
Is it just create plants that come up, just normal plants, or are they some type of...
It magically invigorates the plants and creates, I flavor it as creating brambles and stuff, but it says it just magically invigorates to create this, so... Oh, okay. It's whatever you want it to be. It probably, we could have done it that they've thrown the fireball and then I grow the magic because it doesn't matter since it was a surprise round. Yeah. But
no, very
otherwise, nice. I think it probably could burn a hole in it, which is fine.
Yeah, I would say it does burn. It makes a trail of, since they were fireballs and explosion, I would say that these are flammable and slowly but surely the entire area is starting to get engulfed in the flames.
Are they taking damage from the flames?
So we'll say...
Is that what would you say about? Oh, you're going to do it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to say because between all the fireballs, this general area is just engulfed in flames. Will they take damage? Yep, they'll start the turn. They will take 1d4 points of damage from the flames. 1 point of damage. And this was Bonaga number 2. Yeah. Who didn't take damage at all yet. Who will hiss. And instead of turning towards you, will use his action to... would instead use his action to, let's see what you do. Actually, no, he's further away. He's just gonna open up his mouth, and then you just hear a large hiss, one that vibrates throughout the entirety of this cavern. It shakes and shudders as the ground beneath your feet begins to do the same in motion. It's gonna use entire action doing that. The other ones are gonna follow in same fashion. They'll take the damage and stay there and be burned. Okay, 4 points of damage, and he takes 1 point of damage. Okay, they'll be start to be burned, and as they start to hiss, and it's to the point where now your head's really starting to hurt. You're not enough to take any type of psychic damage or any type of mental damage, but it does really bother your eardrums until eventually the hissing stops, and they end their turn. Julian looks over. Julian looks on over and goes over to King, seeing that you've made this little pathway. He goes, if you don't mind, goes ahead and instead of like dancing with King, just kind of pushes him down a little bit, using him as a bit of a vault, if so, steps onto it, bouncing off of the water that he's able to solidify before jumping across, using the entire action to jump across and then prepare himself to see what's going to happen next. But he does.
I, like, go to give him a hand, and he, like, takes my hand and, like, uses it and, like, pushes himself off of me.
Exactly. And lands on the other side. At the end of this round, you all start to hear an echo throughout the chamber. When you look across, you see coming down this staircase, almost being summoned by the sounds of these hissing serpents. A skeletal figure wearing a very tattered, blood red and green, and toxic green robes, with a serpent-like head staff, golden staff at its side, wearing a strange thorned and brambled crown on his head that seems to be embedded into the creature's very fleshy, bony skull. Is what you recognize as the Lich, as he doesn't touch the ground, but slowly descends down the staircase. I'm just going to reveal
that. DM, are we fighting Voldemort?
The Bone Nagas, burning still, stand at attention, looking on over, staring at their master as he stands next to them.
Who has entered my chamber? More flesh for my army, I assume. So be it. My Nagas, bring me their flesh. They will become my new playthings.
And that will be his entire turn as he makes his entrance. So he goes on initiative count. Let's see, this will initiative for him. Okay. He goes on initiative count 20. So he will, as he makes his entryway on there, he, well, that will be the start of the round. So we'll say that's the start of the round. And we will now start off with Monaco. The Lich has entered as you see Val Sharoon, the broken, stand there with his skeletal figure. He points his bony finger over towards you, and the Nagas turn and begin to make their way over.
Minako will fly up and over the river and begin to gather as much energy as she can into a series of Eldritch Blasts again, this time aiming for the Lich.
Okay. Go ahead and move yourself the distance you want. Go ahead and target him and fire your Eldritch Blast.
Ooh, a natural 20 for a total of 35. 9 damage. as it hits, a singed, right where it hits in his tattered cloth, burned in is this, a sigil of the burning hand, and there's a moment that that passes, and then suddenly he is shunted to shunted to the lower planes as she activates her hurl through hell ability. When you hit a creature with an attack, you can use this feature to instantly transport the target to the lower planes. The target creature disappears and hurls through a nightmare landscape. At the end of your next turn, the target reappears at the space it previously occupied or the nearest unoccupied space. If it is not a fiend, it takes a bunch of damage. Once a long rest.
Okay.
Got
it. So you go ahead and cast a hitting it. Valshroom looks around. You just see the bony features on this creature, a smile as it is shunted out of this reality.
She will then throw a couple more Eldritch Blasts at the other Naga, saying, "We only have a moment before he's back!" 28, which hits for 9 damage again. And another roll for 26, which hits for another 10 damage.
All right. So you go ahead, take Valshurin out of the room before firing back at the bone Nagas that are looking at you.
She just looks down and tells them to get everyone get ready for his return. And that's it.
My fly speed is the same as my regular movement, DM?
We get 60 feet.
Oh.
Yes. No, you get 60 Perfect. Feet fly speed.
Or is it?
I'll start moving across the water. And I think that'll put me in range to use my Demon's Bane again. I will shoot it at Bone Naga 4. Okay. I'll use my bonus action to reload then, and then use my action to fire at Bone Naga number 4.
All right, target Bone Naga 4 and take that action.
22.
That hits, roll damage.
Excellent.
Okay, 13 points of damage, nice. That's once again, square right onto the Bone
Naga. And that'll be my turn.
Anything else you want to do this turn?
Bonus and full action.
Okay, Duran, you're up next.
Duran's going to spend his bonus action, this movement, moving 70 feet closer to where the Lich is going to be.
Okay.
You're flying, right?
No, he's running right now.
The green is 20 feet of movement per square.
Oh, that's right. 20 feet per square, for what you call it. Right.
Sorry.
The only way I can make it through that is if I spend my action to use the move action to give myself one more movement's worth to activate my Vagary and fly that distance. That means in total I can only get up to here, and that's the end of my turn.
Okay. How high are you from the ground?
I would say 10 feet.
Okay.
How high are the brambles?
Yeah, the brambles are like five feet because they're like for ground things. So if you're 10...
Yeah, you're just right above it. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, like it would be one cube of brambles.
All right, so you go ahead and dash across, heading closer to where you saw the Lich first stand before he was zapped away by Minako's spell. Up next is King.
I will use my aquatic glide, which gives me double movement over water, to quickly make my way across this. And then that would leave me with 15, 5, 10, 15. Get a little bit closer near my allies. This will pulse the aquatic heal, even though no one takes damage. I'll just state it does that, and then let me see, how far is this? Perfect. So as I'm running, I'll start weaving symbols, holy symbols, and as I do, I'll let out a burst of holy energy and cast, as a bonus action, spiritual weapon, using my distance meta magic, allowing me to cast it at further than 60 feet, so I can actually cast it next to the Naga and bring a spiritual caliber into existence behind Bone Naga 4. And I'm casting it at 4th level, so it's does 2d8 instead of 1d8. A 32.
32 hits. Roll damage.
And that would be 14 points of force damage. And then that was a spell. Let me check off that spell. And then for a cantrip, I believe, is my... I'm not in range for that. No. Mm-mm. I will end my turn.
King, you go ahead and glide across, shooting out Caliburn, and it strikes the Naga square into its skull. Then, preparing yourself, looking back and forth, waiting for the next strike to come against you, keeping yourself nimble. Up next is Horatio.
I have a question.
What?
10-foot cubes would be one 100-foot cube if I put them all next to each other. No?
That's not how cubes work by dimensions. Like, are you trying to stack them in a straight line?
No.
What are you trying to do?
I was trying to do Firestorm.
Because each cube is as tall as it is wide.
I was trying to do Firestorm. It consists of 10-foot cubes, which you can arrange as you wish. They have to be touching.
Yeah, they do have to be touching, yeah. So you just gotta
You would basically do 10, 10, 10, 10, okay. 10,
yeah.
Like that.
You can arrange it, but they have to be touching. So, yeah, draw a line or how you would want them to be touching.
Oof, he's just out of range.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, it would go to like right here.
Yeah. So you can only get just 3 and 4. Is that what you're trying? Is that what you like to do?
Or you could get 2 and 3, your choice.
Oh yes, or that. Okay, go ahead and target him. Use your ability.
And I choose for the fire to not hurt the plants. I have that option.
Okay. I mean, there's already a raging fire. It's already burning the plants, unfortunately. Yeah. The job has been done.
Yeah, I mean, that might be, but I'm not adding to it.
Okay. All right. To go ahead and target them and make your attack.
Okay, I only have them targeted, so that should be good. Both of them failed. All
right, they both failed. They
both take 44 points of damage.
So you go ahead and summon the firestorm as from the sky just a spiraling storm, a torrent of fire that and it goes and erupts, encircling the two bone Nagas that you hear and go. They hiss. One burns up into ashes while the other one gets hit by all of this fire damage, being burned from below and above as the storm circles around it. And Bone Naga 4 is obliterated. Let me see if they have the ability to come back. Nope, no, they do not. And it turns into dust.
Lie right here.
All right.
So Bone Naga 4 is dead, correct?
Yes, it is.
And
leaving just number 2 and number 3.
And that will be the end. Actually, no. With my bonus action, I will actually switch over to Archon of Power because I made a mistake and chose the wrong one last time.
Okay, so use your bone and action to switch over from the blue hue form to the red hue form. Vroom, as it transforms, the energy unfurls against you and your hair once again stands up.
And that will be the end of my turn.
Alright, Bone Naga number 2 will take a d4 damage as the flames will increase in size. 1 point of damage. It will then... Let's see how far you guys are from it. Okay. Alright, it will move... Within the flaming, the burning brambles will break its way through them as everything's ignited and engulfed in the flames, though it is still taking damage. But it will move freely closer towards... It looks like he's heading towards Duran. So. Right here. Its eyes will then lock onto Duran's body, and then you see a light tink from it. Ding! As it goes on, this light goes over and shoots... striking Duran. Duran, I need you to make me a... Let me make sure. Yes, it can fail. I want you to make me a wisdom saving throw, please.
All right. This isn't any kind of charm effect, is
it? Oh, you get advantage. Is it a charm? Let's see. No, it's not a charm effect. All right.
18.
And you got a... Would that extra die from Cal's thing? Or?
No, that's from...
Oh, that's right. The bless is still on there. Okay. Exactly what you needed. You pass, so you are You go and feel your body start to seize up and start to slow down. But you start to feel your body seize up, but you're able to break from the tension looking on and over as the Naga just wails in frustration. And it'll end its turn there. The next Naga will look down towards Horatio, open up its mouth as this blue and white light begins to crackle, and then once it focuses, you see a beam of electricity shoot out as a boom of lightning bolt comes straight across towards you, Horatio. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Oh no. How far is he?
More than 60 feet.
No. Oh shit. Might die here, y'all.
Oh no!
You're in your Archon mode.
Well, at least you're not an Archon of Rage.
21.
That is a success, so you take full half damage. Oh, full damage, that's right.
Yeah, I don't take double damage.
That's right, okay. So you take 31 points of damage, which are mostly all absorbed by your temporary hit points.
So the Arcane Ward kind of gets right in front of the Lightning Bolt and just absorb that hit.
Okay, go ahead and roll me a concentration check. So you go ahead and get struck by this lightning bolt. As your defenses are down being in Archon mode, you take the full brunt of it, even though you were quick enough to dodge it out the way. As you're struck by it, your shield takes it and shatters as it absorbs all the energy that it could.
It still has 4.
Oh, it does. Oh, it's a 0 on mine. Sorry. All right. As it stands there, just barely a piece of what it used to be, as it's just hanging there, damaged. That Naga will end his turn there. And then it is Julian's turn. Julian will. Does not have any way to get across the battlefield as fast as you guys do, so it would just fine. Just step into the bramble, and he can't move anymore because that's all of his movement with his dash action. But he will move. He's like, the Lich will return soon. Prepare yourselves. You know, on this turn there. Top of the round is Monaco. Knowing that the Lich is going through this hellscape, it will appear shortly. What do you wish to do next?
Monaco will fly upwards and forwards towards where the Lich will be, keeping her eyes on that spot. And as she prepares another Eldritch Blast salvo for when it returns.
All right. You're preparing for when the creature returns once again. So Monaco, once you end your turn, all of a sudden, ping right back into its position is the Lich.
One. When he does appear, she will be throwing lasers at it.
Okay. So it appears once again. Go ahead and as it just appears, he seems to be alive and well. There are secrets of Valshar Rune the Broken that you don't quite know yet. But he looks on over towards you, and as you do, you just release your Eldritch Blast. I want to roll your attack.
31.
That hits.
13 damage. 23. And the third one of 20.
Also hits.
Dirty 20, which I think hits.
Yeah, that hits. Go ahead and roll damage.
For 8 damage.
Okay. You go ahead and release the volume doof, 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 as it appears once again. It takes the hits, moving back slightly, getting up. It smiles, staring at you, Monaco.
Thank you.
She glares back at it.
It was a pleasantry to return to once where I had so visited long ago.
But Cal, it's your turn.
It is indeed. How high is the fire?
The fire only goes up to be about like 5 feet. You can float over it. It's fine.
Okay. I wanted to confirm that. One. I'll move my 60 feet closer to Bone Naga number 2. And instead of spending time reloading and all that other stuff, I am going to cast Blinding Smite.
Target it?
No. It's just like, it's a concentration, and next time I hit, I land a hit. It's like one of those. I will grab my magic revolvers and start blasting away in typical Cal fashion.
All right.
First attack is a natural 20.
It's on Bone Naga number 2. Nice crit.
Bone Naga number 2.
And roll that damage.
And then it should get the...
Yep. Go ahead and roll the attack.
Third level spell.
That has a 19 plus. It succeeded.
So I think because it succeeded, it doesn't become blinded, but it's going to deal an extra 3d8 of radiant damage.
Okay.
So
25 points of damage to Bone Naga number 2.
Bummer.
Okay. Anything?
So that was the first attack. And I'm going to use my second attack with the revolver and keep firing away. That is a 30
to roll damage.
Seven.
7 points of damage. All right.
So that was a bonus, two attacks, and some movement. So that's my turn.
All right.
Get back to the hells.
So, before you end your turn, the lich is going to take an action. A legendary one.
I don't like this. Still don't like it.
He is going to... He'll look on over at Cal, seeing the... Noticing the... Actually, no. His eyes are on Monaco. He's going to look on over at Monaco and point a finger at her, smile, and say,
I think I'll deal with you first.
And we'll fire a magic beam at you. I just want to make sure it can reach. Yes, it can. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw. 13. All right. That is a failure. So,
and not good.
As he releases the beam out, removing his finger, this black beam shoots out, like, comes across, striking you. You're unable to move out of the way. And you take 68 points of damage, partially absorbed by your shields that you have foot, as you are blasted by this necrotic beam that came out of his finger. And that burns two of his legendary actions that you can do this turn. But Duran, it is your turn.
Duran is going to... He is going to spend 25 feet of movement, keeping his vagary up, and then use the remaining 10 plus his bonus action to move here. Actually, I'm close enough to be about 5 feet away. And then Duran is going to use his action by taking the dodge action.
Alrighty. So Duran, you fly up right in front of Val Sharoon, who sits there laughing, still smoke gum coming off his finger after hitting this blast from it. He looks on over towards you as you go and stand there, getting dodging back and forth, bouncing off the... Are you still using your vagary, or did you land on the ground?
Yes, he's still using his vagary. He's still 10 feet in the air.
Alright, as you're in the air. Does that end your turn?
That ends my turn.
Alright, King, you're up next.
I will drop my vagary so I can run at full speed and get... next to Julian, and as I'm running, I'll do a few quick flicks of my wrist and usher commands to Caliburn, spiritual Caliburn, and move it up and have that strike bone Naga 3. Natural 20. 32 for 27 points of force damage.
You are killing with a natural 20 today.
And as I see that it's making contact and crashing in, I'll focus my attention to Julian, and I'll say, here, get on this, I'll fly you to the lich, and I'll throw down actual Caliburn and offer him a hand on top of it, and I'd like to use my action to usher the command to fly towards the lich with him on top of
it. Okay, Julian will oblige and jump up and grab onto you to get closer towards this lich, brandishing his sword as he unsheathes it at that moment, begins to glow as the hilt has an extra piece to it. Each one on the left egg, they kind of go up in an arc, and beneath it, almost like angel wings, shing, it appears off and to create four of the hilt as it begins to glow this white energy. Cal, your weapons also begin to glow at this as the activation of it, and you... And he kind of goes, to battle! As you guys fly off towards the lich.
Ufnan! And I'll give it the command, and it can fly 50 feet as an action. So it'll fly upwards above the brambles with him balancing on it, you know, directly towards him like that. Okay. That will be my bonus, my movement, and...
All right. Horatio will move 10 feet in this direction right now. And closer to the lich, but he is going to still focus on crowd control and attempt to clear these Nagas out of here. So only AoE he has at the moment is Fireball, so I'll throw another one of those, but I will upcast it at 4th level, and let me untarget the lich. There we go. Ooh, one of them succeeded, one of them failed. And... Oh god, there's a lot of ones in there. 26 points of damage to Bone Naga 3 and half to Bone Naga 2.
Alright, Bone Naga 3 explodes from the damage of the fire as it begins to, its bones turn to ash and it melt into the dust. And the dust burns off as well into the flames, though Bone Naga number 2 stands. Anything else you wish to do?
I wish to... Yeah, no, that's the end of my turn.
Okay. All right. Up next, Bone Naga number 2. Since you're the last one to attack the Horatio, this one will also charge up its mouth with that crackling sound as it goes across and shoots a lightning bolt. Let me
make another one. Yeah, no, I am.
Yeah, you are. lightning bolt over at you instead. I need you to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Uh-oh. Where's Cal at? Oh, no. Cal's all the way over there. 20.
That's a success. You take full damage.
Instead of double damage.
That's good. You take...
Ooh, shit.
33 points of damage, and you lose concentration on flying. Everyone who is flying for Horatio, is it they fall gently to the ground? It will specifically say.
I think Featherfall is gently to the ground even if the spell expires.
Falls if it's still aloft, yeah. The target falls.
It falls
normally? Yeah, it falls. It gently falls.
Just wanted to be sure. So all of you who are slowly, who are flying because of Horatio are slowly just descending. So Cal, above the flames, you're just like seeing the roaring inferno beneath your feet as you're starting to go down onto the flame. Monaco, it is growing, taking up all of that. So, but you're at the edge of it right now. But you start to fall down as the burning is right in front of you. As you withdraw Horatio, as you drop concentration on your flight. Bone Naga number 3 has been killed. So, we go to Julian the Mage Slayer, who only has eyes on the Lich, but he is still kind of far away. But what he can do at this distance, let me just make sure. Yes, that is. Oh, 40 feet. He will jump off and all of a sudden turn to mist before reappearing, using a bonus action to cast Misty Step right in front of Val Sharoon, and he will take his attacks, shouting out, "Begone! In the name of the Trius and all that is holy, I will smite thee!" And he will go ahead and take his first attack. Ooh, natural one. He goes ahead and makes his swing over at Val Sharoon. Val Sharoon easily dodges it, just goes directly over his head. And all you hear is like, laughing, coming from the Lich. He's going to go ahead and take his second attack, because he gets two. Another natural one! Oh my goodness. To make a total of 11, but... Once again, he strikes down using his two attacks. He just can't seem to hit Val Sharoon, who's dodging back and forth, laughing at this.
"I will get you, you creature of the dark. You abomination!"
And he will end his turn, because he uses bonus to teleport in his action to attack twice and missed.
First he missed, then he missed.
Alright, Val Sharoon's up next. He gets all of his actions back, but he will now actually take his normal turn. Seeing that both Duran and Julian are there, he is... Let me just see. Alright, he will look on over, clasp his hand together, and say,
"People call me Val Sharoon the Broken, when my true name is Val Sharoon the Breaker!"
And as he does so, the entire room and the area starts to phase in and out, in and out. You all blink your eyes. The flames disappear. Everything disappears until each of you need me to roll me a d20.
Is this a spell?
It's a lair action, so you can try to do something if you want.
I'm wasting my reaction on a lair action.
What do you roll? A
d20. Time to see.
E20.
Let me roll for Julian. Okay, so King, Horatio, and Cal.
Oh no.
Oh no.
It's not better.
Roll me dexterity checks. As you are warped into a flaming inferno of a dimension, exploding lava appears up as you are barely able to see if you can make it towards a platform that is not lava.
I feel like 10's not enough, so I'm going to use my lucky point, first lucky point of the day, and re-roll that. Oh my god, that's worse.
Okay, so Horatio, final
number. You can choose. Okay. Yeah, you can choose.
14, yeah, it's 14.
Okay. So, Cal, you rolled a 20. Horatio, you rolled a 32. Lucky. and King, you rolled a 10.
14.
A 14, sorry, 14. All right, so all three of you managed to pass the check. It was a DC 13. But as you're teleported into the space, you jump over, landing onto the rocks below, as bloop, 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 the temperature skyrockets. You're all just sweating. Appearing in front of you is a shadowy version of Val Sharoon as he stands there laughing and cackling.
Welcome to one of several domains. Let's have fun, my little playthings.
Monaco, Monaco Duran, you immediately appear what seems to be, as you start to fall down, actually, you guys don't have to make dexterity check. So as you're landed onto the ground, it looks to be an oasis floating in the skies you look on over. As the wind begins to pick up, you hold on tight as it continues to blow heavier and heavier. So what you see for you is you're on a floating island, and somewhere in the sky, it looks like you're heavily descending or shifting, you're not sure, but everything is moving, creating this big vacuum that threatens to suck you off the edge, going to who knows where, as you all hold on tight. You don't have to make any checks to save yet, as Val Sharoon appears in front of on a pedestal, standing behind a large crystal, laughing, echoing throughout this entirety of this island. That was his lair action. So with both of you in this, but with the two groups in this strange augmented reality, this planar shift with the shadowy Val Sharoon standing before you, we will conclude the battle in part 3 of the season finale of Descent into the Void.